Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 16th. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank.
Always a delight to see your smiling face, and I am relishing the fact that you are wearing a tie and I am not.
You okay?
In fact, I'm wearing jeans today.
Yeah.
Neener, neener, neener.
Yeah. I see. Well, some of us apparently are going to be working today, and some of us are going to be enjoying their work today a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Oh, Winston, you find something here that's of interest.
This one doesn't look like it's been used, but it's also a pretty common one, so let's just go with it. Where did we get the expression, a feather in one's cap?
Successful bird hunt.
Oh, there was an era in which you would place a feather in your cap.
I'm thinking Middle Ages on this one.
I don't know, I want to say originally it was a peacock feather, but anyway, I don't
remember.
Yeah,
the flamboyancy rather than like Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't
know.
Well,
and it worked a whole lot better than putting a fox's paw in your hat. It didn't,
yeah.
You know, coming back from the successful hunt, that didn't fly.
Have you ever gotten one of these right?
Oh, maybe three times.
The American Indian who added a new feather to his headgear for every enemy slain was the father of this phrase. The same procedure has been followed by many other races and nations.
Well.
Okay.
See, the string continues.
Oh, better geez. Failure.
That's right, yeah. But you know, when you have low standards, it,
yeah.
You know, I'm just achieving the expectations. What are you hearing out there with some of the discussions around PPP and a second round of bailout? I don't know if that's the right terminology to use. Stimulus package. I guess Pelosi, from what I've been hearing, is kind of getting lit up a little bit about it, and she was digging her heels in, and that there seemed to be consensus that sometime in December there'd be another something out there. Are you hearing anything?
We haven't gotten anything from the SBA. Of course, it has to go through Congress, and then it has to go through the SBA. And hopefully they'll be they'll have their process down a little better than they did last time.
Ducks in a row is a phrase. I think we had that one earlier.
So there were no ducks in a row, but they rolled it out way too fast. And so we had a lot of challenges with that. In fact, we're still having challenges with that program.
Getting the everybody squared up and everything.
Yeah, and of course, you know, having the election in the middle of the whole thing, you know, really bottlenecked Congress doing what they needed to do. But
yet another phrase for potential bottleneck. Definition down the road. Yes.
Okay. It has to do with ketchup. And whoever
and
thought
mustard?
Whoever thought ketchup should have a little narrow.
Oh yeah.
Narrow bottle.
You got that? I think somebody put it in backwards or upside down. Yeah, it's just give me a little drizzle, please.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I've never seen that on a kid's plate. Now, for the consumer, there also was that injection of funds, I guess, that would be a working phrase. And there was some discussion that might also be coming out. Do any of your contacts indicate anything like that as a
you know as much as we do?
You guys lost.
Yeah. Did I just say that out loud?
Yeah. Well, a lot of this stuff, John, I suspect is being driven by fear, panic. And it may not be from the government side issuing, but it's for those that are receiving.
Well, the biggest issue is going to be, are they going to lock us down again? You know, and if they are, we've got problems. I mean...
Well, not if we follow the governor's example.
Yeah. Of ignoring the lockdown?
Yeah, ignoring himself and just, you know, gathering where you want to. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a whole nother issue.
Okay, we'll set that aside. Cheap shot set aside. Fine.
But with that said... you know, if we're going to lock down the economy again, we have big problems. And now we have an issue with national debt. We have all kinds of problems if we decide to lock down again.
Is your lobbying group out pushing on anything, any direction? Yes, no, up, down, or this model or that model?
You know, as I look at things locally, one of the biggest challenges of the PPP program is it was a shotgun. It was give it to everybody. And yet there are pockets of industries and types of businesses that need help. Not everyone.
And, yeah, more susceptible or dealing with
exactly.
more issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so hopefully it'll be a little more focused than it was the last time. You know, because a lot of money was given out that probably didn't need to be given out. But we didn't know. I mean, nobody really knew. It was an absolute, when this rolled out, it was an absolute unknown. And now we're looking at it and saying, okay, these are the industries, these are the types of businesses that really need help. These other ones don't.
Or maybe some standards that you guys can, in the banking community, can measure against or reference.
Well, that's if they ever
asked
us.
So an individual business rather than, yeah, the whole industry kind of.
Yeah, we're the last people they would ask for advice on this. So I don't know how, if it's going
to. You mean they're listening to this show and they're predicating decisions off of this?
I'm sure they are.
And they've got to go back
and the three people that do listen to us just clicked off their radios.
Yeah, we're ready for the holidays, huh?
Speaking of the holidays, have you started decorating for Christmas yet?
Have not, but tomorrow on 980, we're going 100% Christmas music.
Wow.
There's been an awful lot of studies that are showing that people are really anxious for Christmas and family and gatherings and feeling safe and community and all that kind of stuff, and it's all kind of wrapped up into the Christmas music.
Well, you start hearing about Christmas before
Black Friday month.
Yeah, before Halloween.
Yeah,
it used to be a no-no before Thanksgiving, but now it's before Halloween.
Well, I think that there's that. The research I've seen is that there really is a desire to find that Christmas of yesteryear,
mm-hmm.
and to kind of level things a little bit, or at least solidify. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, so is the government is out there, and I guess it just kind of is a specter. There's going to be some action. Nobody really knows what it is. We've got the county. I think somebody indicated that we may be ratcheting up here in the next little bit, or back, or whatever the direction is, as we've averaged about 3 or 4 positives a day. That seems to be enough to kick us over. What are you talking to your business buddies about? I mean, how do you protect? How do you anticipate? How do you respond and still keep the doors open if you're a retailer, if you're a restaurant, if you're a bar? I like the one bar thing, right? Only after 10 o'clock is COVID present in the bar, so we're going to make you close at 10. What? The lack of consistency just kind of seems screwy, but yet we know that there's going to be something. How do you hedge?
There does tend to be an arbitrary factor in there that I do not understand. What I'm seeing most business people is fatigue. You see it, hear it all the time.
Customers also just across the board.
Yeah,
everybody,
we are so done with this. The majority of people that I talk to, and not all of them, because there's this wide spectrum of people that are completely paranoid and think we ought to be completely locked down, to those that think, you know, this thing's done, let's just move on. And you know, science doesn't seem to be a factor on either side. And in fact, that's the
science
problem.
Science and politics. What, I think the only place that blends is NASA.
Yeah. So, and the problem is, what is the science? Now, what appears, I mean, from my perspective, is that, yes, we're seeing some additional outbreaks as people are letting their guard down. But the severity of the illness seems to be down substantially. It doesn't seem like we're seeing the
positives, yes, hospitalizations a little less, and deaths aren't even being reported.
Yeah, so, and, you know, before the deaths that were being reported, I mean, you couldn't, those numbers, it was really hard to tell, because if somebody died from some underlying condition, but they had COVID, then it was considered a COVID death. So really, was it a factor? Did it kill them, or did they die anyway? Who knows? Of course, there were all the jokes out there about people having car accidents from and dying from COVID. But and so, what are the numbers? What is the science? And so, on both extremes, I don't think anybody's really governing themselves strictly by, you know, the medical science.
Well, which one is the Department of Treasury?
Yeah.
Leaning on.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, you know, whether it's economic stimulus or whether it's going to be the taxes. I mean, they had those, the tax forgiveness thing, but then those all came due last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it still kind of feels at times like it's a shell game. But we're dealing with it as if it's straight up legit and suffering the consequences.
Well, if we do what is being suggested, and that is increase taxes and lock down the entire country, yeah, we've got some real problems. There's people that are really going to be hurting out there. And I would say the ones that have been most impacted are those in the food industry, the restaurants and so forth.
From the producers on down?
We've seen problems with production because of COVID outbreaks at, you know, various plants and so forth. But, you know, here locally, the biggest issue has been, you know, shutting them down suddenly, which means they have to throw away all their perishable inventory, and then telling them to open up, and then shutting them down again. So they, after they bought all that inventory again, they have to, well, you can only do that so many times and you don't survive anymore. And, you know, PPP helped quite a bit, but it's not the...
sustainable.
Right.
Certainly.
And then you have your problem of how many employees you've had to lay off. Are you going to be able to rehire them? And people seem to be reticent to coming back to work.
Yeah, I had written down employment as an issue with some of the various support things at the federal level, that it, you know, in areas such as ours, people literally were making more money, netting more money, by not working.
Correct.
So now you got a labor shortage as market demand starts kicking in, and it really kind of felt topsy-turvy as you see certain industries, retailers, having knockdown, drag-out days and months positive, while nobody's, you know, the streets are empty and nobody's going to work. And you go, what, you know, is this like Groundhog Day on a Sunday just for months at a time? You know, and those of us, you know, you guys like us trying to slug it out, trying to figure out what in the, okay, fine, whatever, and just lower your head and try to do what you do.
Yeah. Well, and then you also have, you know, retired people that live on their savings, and rates are at such a low right now. And there's some discussion out there about negative interest rates. I don't think it'll impact the consumer, but there is some talk about that. I mean, how far can we bring rates down? And rates down have some real positives if you're a borrower, but again, if you're an investor, it's problematic.
Are you sensing that the rates are going to stay where they are with Biden in the White House?
All indications are that that yes, that we're talking, you know, 3 to 5 years before we see any increase.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. John, there are certainly a number of issues that are facing us on the North Coast. I mean, in general, if things were semi-normal, I think we might be okay. But we're still dealing with the legalization and the impact to revenue streams in our area about that. We do have issues with limited access to the market, local people being the market, not transportation stuff. We've got employment issues that are proving to be a challenge. We've got minimum wage cranking up again, 6 weeks? All these various things that kind of seem to be anti-business.
Well, the other one that seems to be invisible, but it's not. It's a huge issue, and that is the cost of housing.
And that's been escalating significantly also.
We've seen a significant rise in housing costs. I've heard estimates by realtors of as much as 25%. Well, it was too high before this all happened. If you compare it to the average wage in our community, which is relatively low in the state of California, yet our housing prices are high, which means, you know, the average working person can't afford to purchase a home, and we have a housing shortage, especially in the Eureka area.
Kind of like what we experienced when the kids were playing in Moraga.
Yeah.
Everybody working lived a 20 to 30 minute drive away because they couldn't afford to live in the city where they were employed.
And so you're going to see an exodus of, you know, it's hard to bring somebody in to work, you know, for $15 or $20 an hour if that means they will never be able to buy a home.
But now Fortuna's going gangbusters. I would suspect that maybe places such as West Haven or Rio Del or Blue Lake, some of these areas that haven't really been developed over the years because there hasn't been demand, or they were back when the mills, remember those things? Were working, that suddenly those come into play. Maybe Fairhaven and Samoa, you know, those properties that are being developed, maybe they come into play. My concern with that is we don't have that many tradesmen anymore. Mm-hmm. In the area, because they're going, you know, other places.
That's a national issue. That's not just a regional
issue. Not specific local, but a lot of guys are going down to Santa Rosa because they're being told, you know, for 4 or 5 years, you don't have to worry about a paycheck. We're going to run you, okay, natural resource access.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your costs are up, I've heard, between $200 and $250 a foot for new construction. Okay, but also the permitting process, that there's not a lot of staffing available in some jurisdictions to be able to process quickly or to move quickly, like on those buildings Eureka's doing, condo, apartment kind of things, small, different level. Mm-hmm. When you do that and try to sell those, you know, how tough is it to cite those things? So, you know, it's kind of like we're not ready for growth yet, but we're having all the pressures of growth.
Yeah, and what we're seeing, at least at the bank levels, we're seeing people come in from the Bay Area, from the Los Angeles Basin, trying to get away from the metropolitan areas and moving, they're moving to Tennessee, they're moving to Texas, they're moving to Idaho, they're moving to Nevada.
And Humboldt.
But they're also moving to Humboldt. And, and it's a lifestyle change. But the problem is they're coming in with a great deal of equity from the home they sold, and they're pushing, you know, the housing prices up substantially here. And again, we're not seeing an increase in wages proportional to the increase in housing. And so it makes it
well, not yet
harder.
With all these other pressures that the business community is dealing with. You know, it's like, holy cow. You know, yeah. It's interesting what's going on. Do you sense, is there anybody at maybe 100-foot level looking at this, trying to figure things out and get out in front of it and maybe trying to coordinate the financing with the building community, with the permitting agencies, and not greasing the skids, but trying to put together some sort of a recommendation so when you get somebody that's looking for something, you can have some information that you can provide?
Oh, absolutely. I've sat through a number of presentations where the county and the city are talking about these issues, and you know they are bringing solutions forward, but the problem is they don't own the land or et cetera, et cetera.
So they're not bringing in the
builders? But the permitting process isn't getting any faster. It's you're right. It's, if anything, it's slower than it has been in the past. You know, my neighbor's put in permits, you know, and has been waiting, I think, 6 months now. And he's a contractor.
City or county?
I believe this one was city, but I'm not sure. I don't want to say. I'm not sure where his properties are.
With something that's totally in local control,
yeah,
local jurisdiction.
And so the challenge is, you know, it's like anything that's bureaucratic, it always becomes more complicated to get an approval than less. More is always better. And we've seen the same thing with bank regulators. It doesn't matter, you know, if 8 was good enough last year, now we want 9. And we're going to add 4 more things, but you still have to do all the other stuff. So
and it's not that much
away.
More work for you, John.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's kind of the mentality. Not that much more, but after 5 or 10 years worth of not much more,
yeah,
pretty soon it's significant.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't sit in those departments, so I don't know the challenges and what's being required of them. But the bottom line is, yes, that process is slower.
So we'll see if we can figure out a solution when we come back. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back with Mr. Dalby. So, John, how do we start solving some of these challenges that we've been referencing? How do we get the building process quicker? How do we get an assimilation of growth? How do we get some of those jobs in place that can afford entry-level housing? Maybe we redefine entry-level as the small house or the tiny house, that kind of thing, where you may have 1,000-square-foot max or an 800 minimum, and you have smaller properties.
Yeah. Well, I know the city of Eureka has been very proactive in trying to create higher density, you know, because we don't have – the city itself doesn't have a lot of areas to expand in, although
– well, there's a lot of candidates, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you knock one down and put two in.
And so – and one of the big problems you have with – adding mother-in-law units is what we're talking about, is there's a lot of homes that have enough land, you know, a big enough yard that they could build a secondary unit on their property. But one, strangely enough, one of the challenges is getting title insurance. So if you have a first and you want to do a construction second, you can't get we can't get title insurance for that. So we're trying to work through that so that we can create a loan product for the construction of secondary units.
Wait a minute. The guy still owns the property that is going to be building the outdwelling. How does that impact title at all?
But you have to get a tighter title insurance policy to insure the title for the secondary loan. And no, I see a puzzled look on your face. Yes, it is puzzling that you can't.
Okay.
But we're trying to work through that. And that's one of the challenges of building a secondary unit on your property. Now, if you have enough equity in the home itself. You can just get a home equity loan, build it, and then you can refinance. I mean, there's ways to do it. But if you don't have enough equity, you know, to create the money that you need to build a secondary unit, now you have a problem. So we're trying to work through some of these to help the city.
That's state insurance?
No, this is title commissioner? Insurance.
Commissioner? Oh, okay. So it's not the insurance commissioner issue.
It's title insurance, yeah. But this is a problem throughout the state. This is just the way the industry works. So we're trying to do that. But point being is that the city is being very proactive in trying to increase the density.
That's housing, but that's not home ownership.
That's correct.
Two different topics.
Yes.
I got it right.
You never
all
know.
Right. All right, the blind squirrel is now full, and that's the end of the show. Thanks for coming by, John. See everybody tomorrow.